Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59. Coming up in just a minute, the broadcast speaks with former CIA agent Jack Rice about Donald Trump, the danger of his tweets, his cabinet picks, and more. At 11 on stage and studio, D-May Roberts says goodbye to 2016 with highlights from the past year. And at 11:30, Art Focus brings you interviews with artists, curators, and critics.
Join KBOO Community Radio and Sean Stewart on Friday, December 30th from 8 p.m. to midnight as we end the year with a live music extravaganza, potluck, and ladies' jam. We will be featuring the avant-garde experimentalism of the Institute for Creative Dying, Brandon Conway of the Creative Music Guild, and the ladies' jam featuring Gabby Holt, Stephanie Selza, and many more. We will also be featuring guest DJ Kathleen Heisler and Rock and Roll by the Carotids. Come on down to KBOO Community Radio, located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off East Burnside, next to the Jupiter Hotel and the Doug Fir Lounge. Again, that's Friday, December 30th, from 8 p.m. to midnight. Don't forget to bring a snack to share and an instrument to jam on.
KBOO is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events Survey on KBOO.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to KBOO.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KBOO, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
I think President Obama is beginning to figure out that his legacy is like one of those dolls that as the air comes out of it, shrinks and shrinks and shrinks.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle. I'm stuck in the middle.
From Pacifica Radio, this is the broadcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. In Oregon, on the Central Coast, on 91.7 FM KYAQ, and in Cottage Grove, on 106.7 FM KSO. In Pennsylvania, on 93 FM WLRI in Lancaster. In Hawaii, on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui. In Columbus, Ohio, on WGRN 94.1 FM. In Palinville, New York, on 102.9 FM WLPP. In Bellingham, Washington, on KZAX 94.9 FM. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, on AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And coast to coast and around the globe, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, blanketing the globe 5 days a week. Usually hosted by Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, but today you got me again, Nicole Sandler of NicoleSandler.com. It's Christmas week. Nothing happens Christmas week. It's the slowest news time of the year, but there's still plenty to talk about. So in just a moment, we'll be joined by radio host, criminal defense attorney, and former CIA agent Jack Rice. Plus, we'll say farewell to some who left us this year. What's news style? All right, so we got a lot of ground to cover today. Let's get started. Jack Rice, we first met when we were sort of the second string on Air America. You and I were the fill-ins. We were sort of the go-tos when they had openings over there. My background was radio. Yours was a lot more interesting, Jack Rice, because in addition to being a lawyer, which I believe you're now practicing again, you're also a former CIA. Now, were you an agent or were you an operative, or is there any difference?
Both. actually. Technically, I had several titles depending upon the work that I was doing. Part of it had to do with counterintelligence, where technically the title I had was special agent. Believe it or not, it goes way back when the agency first started. This area, they were trained in by the Bureau. And on the Bureau, all of their guys are called special agents, and so they grabbed that title. But then as a case officer, when I moved over to the DO, the Directorate of Operations, I was actually an operative. I was a field guy, but I was always a field guy, even on the counterintelligence side. So frankly, working that angle was what I've always been. And so that was never exactly shocking for me.
So were you, obviously the CIA deals with our relationship or deals with stuff in other countries, right? The FBI is the domestic agency. Is that correct? Or is there other?
Generally speaking, it's changed to some degree and it's morphed over time. But specifically what the agency was set up to do was to reach out internationally. The limit of their domestic involvement, supposedly, and I'll leave it at that, supposedly, has to do with foreign operatives. If there are people from around the world that the agency is interested in or involved with in the states, there are certain processes they have to go through to work within the states out of fear that the agency could be targeting their own. Hence, remember the whole NSA debacle, rightfully so, by the way, that people should be concerned about that, because when you start using intelligence efforts that were designed to be going after international sources against Americans, Americans should be certainly and absolutely and definitively concerned.
Okay, so now here's my next question. I always had this sort of vision in my mind. You know, everybody wonders, for instance, let's go think back 8 years or so. Barack Obama, before he took office, was this hope and changey kind of guy. Then he takes office and all of a sudden the hope and changey stuff almost disappeared. And I always think it's because the president, he goes through the inauguration, he walks into the Oval Office, he sits down and he's paid a visit by some agents perhaps, and they tell him this is how it really works. And obviously you can't tell me if that's the case or you'd have to kill me. But now we have Donald Trump coming in. And I get the feeling it's a whole new ball game. He's already told the CIA and the FBI that he doesn't trust them, that their work is not good enough for him. I mean, am I over exaggerating this? Because it seems like that's what he's done.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because, and again, I'm trying to stand sort of back on this issue.
Right.
Politically, I could go where I am. But if I listen to the way you just described it, if you could argue that if there was this perception of the quote unquote hopey changey of President Obama, and then the intelligence community came in and reined him in and said, you won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that a bad thing if Donald Trump says, I don't believe you, I don't trust you, and so therefore I'm not going to listen to you? I mean, I'm just saying, hypothetically, there is an argument to be made. I'm not sure I'd make it, but there's an argument to be made that if what Donald Trump is willing to do is to buck that system, then is that necessarily
Right. That could be a good thing, because he's going to say, you don't scare me. I don't care. You can't threaten me. I'm going to do what I want to do. But then again, I don't know what kind of stuff they're holding over anybody's head. And I mean, it's somebody who will take the most, I would guess, at least one of the most sophisticated intelligence gathering operations in the world and say, I don't believe you. I'll believe my own rumor mills over what you tell. I'll believe what Mike Flynn tells me over what you tell me. That, I think, leaves us open to real danger, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Frankly, I mean, and if we can go back to the Obama question for a minute,
yeah.
I saw that directly, and I can say that specifically from what I was seeing. Again, I was at the White House when the whole Abu Ghraib scandal broke, and I was actually at the White House when President Obama was going to come out and speak about this. And for people who want to reach back a little bit, before he took office, when he was Senator Obama, he criticized heavily President Bush about his lack of transparency when it came to the Abu Ghraib question, about a lot of the intelligence world. And then what happened when he took office, all of a sudden, it seemed to change. And it changed literally overnight. And
yeah.
I was at the White House. I was in the press room when he walked out and he said, I've decided that all of those pictures that I criticized President Bush about, that I'm absolutely going to release once I'm president, I've decided not to release them. And I sat there in the room incredulous, because what I thought to myself was, if transparency is a good thing, and again, this I'm a former intelligence guy,
mm-hmm.
but there's always been a problem with the intelligence community, and we can talk about that. But what I saw from President Obama at that moment on that issue was that this president sounds exactly like the last president. And I think there were a lot of people who heard that and thought the very same thing.
Yeah.
And so that is incredibly disconcerting. But to get to your question now, is it of concern now if President-elect Trump has decided that he doesn't want to listen to the intelligence community? Yes, it's potentially a disaster. The idea that he thinks because he's somehow myopically intelligent, myopically smart, that therefore he doesn't actually need to listen to information is absolutely petrifying for those of us who've put our lives on the line, who've risked our lives, who've risked the lives of our families, and frankly, the people we've recruited and the assets that we've acquired on behalf of the United States, to have a guy say, no, I don't need to listen to you because I know the answer. That's putting on ignorance like a coat of honor. This is Sarah Palin on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where we are right now. And there are a lot of people in the intelligence community who are thinking, what the hell am I going to do? I've been here 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I can't retire. And yet I'm doing this for this Yahoo. There's a lot of people who are honestly saying that, who are the professionals in the room. And that's a fact.
Right. And so, again, this is what's so scary. I think, you know, here's the contrast. You had Obama go in, and I, again, this could be my made up fantasy, but something clearly was said to him to make him become more, a good soldier, follow along in line, than the hope and change guy that we thought we had elected. So he took the street, he followed along. He got in lockstep with them, or so it seems. Now you have Trump. And yeah, while some people may have voted for him because they thought, all right, he's not going to play along, there comes a part where you cross over from being more independent of the way things have always been done to conspiracy theory land. And this man has completely embraced Fox World. And even worse than that, it seems, Alex Jones land, because
yeah,
some of the stuff
I think you're right.
Right. That he and his, the people that surround him say. I mean, the other thing is, all right, well, maybe he's what he is, but he'll surround himself with decent people. Jack Rice, then we see who he's putting in his cabinet. And I think it's time to be really scared.
Well, I think you're right. If we look at where he is now, I mean, there are many people all along the campaign trail watching him, and I've chased a lot of campaigns. On the journalistic side, I've been all over the world. I spent a lot of time in a lot of war zones simply because I knew how to do it. So Iraq, Afghanistan, I was in the middle of the Israeli-Palestinian fight multiple times, the fight between the Turks and the Kurds in northern Iraq and in eastern Turkey, amongst others, in Africa a couple of times too. And during this last campaign trail, everybody was waiting for him to pivot. And that was the term they used. They were all waiting for him to somehow become and go down that presidential route. And he never did it.
Right.
He would do it for a little while. All of a sudden, he'd be reading something and everybody would say, oh, okay, I'm a little more comfortable now. And then he would come out and do and say things which were extraordinary. And I don't mean that in a positive way, because the problem that he has is there needs to come a point where he realizes, and really, this is the truth, that there comes a point when he needs to understand he is not just Donald Trump anymore. He is the most powerful person on the planet, and people die because of words that he says. In fact, entire countries can collapse. Entire economic systems can shift simply based upon one statement that comes from him. And we've seen this in the past, but the problem is he doesn't understand and realize what that means, because it seems that he's incapable at this point to actually understand what he has done and how he has placed himself.
Right. In fact, that's where here's an example. Right, here's an example of that, Jack Rice. And I want your response and what you thought when you first heard this. All right. Here's the quote. The United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes. Donald J. Trump, the president-elect of the United States, tweeted that out a few days ago.
The Chinese and the Russians changed how they approached the world based upon that tweet. They did.
In what way?
In fact, well, in terms of their preparation, in terms of their willingness to actually respond out of fear that if he can do this and he can say this, that potentially it means he may be preparing to do something as a result of it. And the problem with that is that that makes the world more dangerous, because you contemplate what happens from Vladimir Putin on down through his generals, through his senior officers, to his junior officers, to his enlisted people, and what those orders could potentially result in terms of their behavior. And the problem is, as a result of that, somebody could die on a front line someplace because Donald Trump is sitting on his toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning deciding he wants to tweet something cool.
Yeah.
And he's never... This is a man... This is part of the frustration for people like me, is that this is the kind of man who has never put himself in a place